On this week's episode of the High Handicappers Club, the crew heads down to Louisiana for their review of the bluffs at Thompson Creek. But before we get to that, here's your 3-minute golf update. Last week, we talked about the Mayakoba Classic, and Victor Hovland came out victorious, shot 66, 69, 63, and a final round 65. With a birdie on 18 to secure his second PGA Tour victory at age 23. He became the fifth European player with multiple PGA Tour victories before the age of 24 and joined some really elite company. He joined Rory, Seve Ballesteros, Sergio Garcia, and Jon Rahm. On our previous episode, we talked about a few players we thought we would see a good run from. Harris English was really the only player from that group that we saw play well. He finished top five. Ricky Fowler, however, missed the cut after a wild front nine to start off his first round. And he ends the week at 52 in the official world golf rankings, which puts him currently outside of the Masters in April. This week on the PGA Tour, they head down to Naples, Florida for the QBE Shootout. This is a different type of format than the majority of PGA Tour tournaments that happen. This is a 12 two-man team shootout. They will compete over 3 days and compete under a different format each day. The defending champions are Kevin Tway and Rory Sabatini. An exciting team to look out for this year would be Abraham Anser and Matthew Wolf, both younger guys that have a really good game, and I'm excited to watch play together. On the European Tour this week, we have the DP World Tour Challenge. This is an exciting event, mostly because of the field being strengthened this year because of the new schedule. We have Patrick Reed, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa, and Tommy Fleetwood all playing in that event. A couple of the PGA Tour guys that we don't see play super often over on the European Tour will make their debuts.
This is Cooper, Caleb, and Carl. We just got done playing the Bluffs at Thompson Creek. We're driving on our way back home to our good buddy Joe's family farm. We are an hour and a half outside of New Orleans, about 40 minutes outside of Baton Rouge. What do we think about the course we just played?
Yeah, we came here for Joe's family farm, and we were looking for a golf course somewhat close, and I would say fairly pleasantly surprised with the course that we got to play today. It was nice. We had a great time.
I agree. I did minimal research. You know, this trip was not a golf trip. We just happened to want to play golf while we were here. And this course was the closest that we could find that seemed like an easy one for all of us to play. Our handicaps are kind of all over the place, and it was pretty cheap. There were a lot of tee times available, and yeah, I would agree. The course was in pretty good shape, you know, for early December.
And when we pulled up, it looked like we were at a private club.
If you based it off of the clubhouse, this was a PGA Tour course.
Yeah, the clubhouse is immaculate. It's a thing of beauty.
Arnold Palmer design, right?
Yep. Arnold Palmer design.
Luckily, we got Palmer dogs.
We did get Palmer dogs
just to get our minds right.
Yep.
Which is essentially a chili dog, but definitely better.
Yes.
Right. Not sure why, but it was.
Well, the jalapenos help, right?
Now, when I was hitting off of the mud, my second shot on the first hole, I thought, you know, the tee box is a little misleading, or the clubhouse is a little misleading, but you know, knocked it in for double bogey, so no complaints from me.
Yeah, so overall, I would say this course certainly exceeded expectations. There were a few holes that felt like there's some work that needs to be done here and there. It did rain a lot yesterday, so we'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I wish I would have known a little more about the course going into it. I mean, the guys we just talked to, the golf staff just told us the back nine is much harder than the front nine, which makes total sense because it did seem really narrow.
Yeah, I mean, the back nine got me a little bit. I thought I hit a couple good shots that I lost. Maybe it was a leaf ball. I don't know. There was definitely a couple blind approach shots, too, where you would benefit a lot from playing the course a few times. But really pretty. I mean,
yeah,
it was fun. I enjoyed it. Greens weren't real fast.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the putts you needed to hit kind of straight at the pin, just see what happens. But, Yeah,
on the back nine, I struggled with, like, I would hit my driver maybe 10 yards, 15 yards offline, and I would have to punch out. There was no shot at the pin, which I don't love. I would much rather, you know, take my, you know, quote-unquote penalty, you know, in a different way. Because I didn't feel like I hit terrible shots. The front nine, in hindsight, seemed much more gettable than the back nine.
Yeah, I agree.
But man, there were a couple of really tough par threes.
Man. The 220 par three was difficult.
Yeah.
I think we had three par threes that were flirting with 200 yards or better.
I was going to say, I think we had three over 200.
There was one that was like 150 or less. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was a few long ones, man.
I think 17 is the signature hole, technically. It's downhill, 215 yards. It probably plays more like 205-ish. And you've got water all along the right-hand side. I will say, I think this course would really benefit with maybe a few more images on social media. I mean, I couldn't find anything about this course besides the website and the location and like a couple reviews. And maybe that's because it is kind of in no man's land a little bit. But I feel like the course played a lot better than I expected, and I couldn't really find anything, but you know, from like 2017 on about it.
Yeah, I didn't know really anything about the course coming in, but that was also kind of fun. It's like, you know, we're in a small town, 35, 40 minutes outside of Baton Rouge. We kind of pull up and get surprised.
So we have six guys here on this trip, and again, all different handicaps, and so we decided to play like a little bit of a different format than maybe is common with a lot of golfers that play group games. We decided to do a 3-versus-3 stroke play. So I went against Caleb, Carl went against Joe, and then Joseph went against Trent. And for Carl and Joe, we decided Joe gets 9 shots against Carl. And then for the highest handicappers of the group, they got to choose the best tee shot of their threesome to play from, which I think actually really helped, especially for our group. You know, Joseph probably used 8 or 9 of our tee shots, and I think not only was it more enjoyable for him, but I also think it just helped with pace of play. Yeah, I think moral of the story is that there's a lot of different ways to play golf. I think we get caught up in the stroke play and keeping our own score, but I do think it's always fun to go out and try to think of new and creative ways to make it exciting for the group, no matter if you're a new golfer or somebody that plays a lot. And I think for our group in particular, it helped to do something a little bit unique.
Agreed. You guys got any highlights from the day? Big shots, good putts, big drives?
You know, my top holes were the first 6 holes. Kind of went downhill after that, but I borrowed a fairway wood from Trent, just gave it a shot, ended up on the green with a the tap in for birdie. Definitely the highlight of probably the year. Went on a run of six straight sixes after that, so that's how the back went. But, you know, when you get one birdie around, that is what makes you come back the next weekend. So, definitely a highlight of the day.
Nice.
Man, honestly, and I hate this, but I think my first hole might have been my best. I hit a really good drive. I hit a 6-iron to 12 feet, and I lipped out the birdie putt. And I really just, that's kind of the theme of the day, but it was maybe my most put-together hole of the day. I just couldn't really make a putt. I made a couple par putts here and there, but had a couple birdie opportunities. I had three lip outs on the front, and I had three putts on the back. Couldn't really get a feel for the greens. I feel like I had a good feel for the speed, but I was giving them a little bit more than maybe they... I shouldn't have given them as much as I should have, but it's kind of the moral of my day, or the story of my day.
Yeah, let's see. The front started off bad, doubled one, bogey two, bogey three, then went on a little bit of a run and snuck a birdie in there and went 40 on the front. Had some good approach shots that just felt good, you know? Back got me a little bit, but on 14 and 15 I was about 3 feet off the green, putted in on both of those. So it was a little highlight. And I'll say a huge highlight was Trent, who he's probably like a 39 handicap. Trent parred number 17, the 215 yard par 3 downhill. He almost took his clothes off in this neighborhood. I was like, hey, keep your pants on and your shirt. It's a great par. You're doing great. But I think that's probably got to be my highlight of the day, was watching Trent slice one. It was a 200-yard shot. I think he hit driver.
Three wood.
That bananaed around, landed 15 feet from the pin, and he wanted us to call it good from the tee box. I was like, well, Trent, we can't do that yet.
Oh, man.
Anyway. A lot of fun.
You say the right things to Trent, he'll take his pants off.
Yeah, that's very true.
There's another highlight for me. It's always great when you just totally blade one and it works out. Had one just big time blade. Wind's blowing a little bit. Ball gets caught up actually in the flag and drops straight down about 3 feet for par.
It's perfect.
And then
it feels great.
Talk about the putt.
The putt. Oh, then, you know, the 3-foot putt. Greens, you know, I didn't have a great feel for the greens. They were playing a little slow, so I thought, let me give this putt a little extra. Make sure you never want to leave a putt short. So I gave it a little extra.
You're welcome for leaving the flagstick in right here.
Just pounded the flagstick. Thank you, COVID. Hit the flagstick at about 20 miles an hour, and it just dropped straight in the cup for par. So
yeah, that flagstick actually has a top light stamp on it now. Carl loves to play the top rocks.
Well, that was a pinnacle ball, you know.
Sorry,
you wanna,
pinnacle, my bad.
You want to make sure there's always a shot that ball goes in the water, and you don't want it to be a profi. So,
I mean, do you want to do an advertisement for Pinnacle right now?
Let me give you Pinnacle. Pinnacle, the best thing I can give you is you might lose about 10 yards on your drive, but you know, if you're driving, teeing off with a 4-iron, plays about normal, and no risk to losing a ball. So Pinnacle, high handicappers sponsored stamp of approval.
You can get 100 of them for $10. This is kind of embarrassing, but maybe my highlight shot of the day, now that I'm thinking about it, was a punch out, either on 13 or 14, I can't remember. It was a dog leg to the right.
Wait, so you beat me by 2 strokes and your highlight shot was a punch out?
Yeah, I think so.
Good for me.
I had a pretty small window, but I knew I could punch it out and at least be short, but I ended up flying it a little farther than I expected, and like hit the back edge of the green, and there were kind of some natural mounds behind the green that stopped my ball, and ended up being able to putt it. It wasn't that far off the green, but kind of nice to just see one fly under all the trees, yep, curve perfectly to the right, just right at the hole.
Butter through a little Spanish moss on the way.
Heard.
Come on.
Yeah. Gave the Spanish moss just a little cut, just a little trim up that it needed.
That's right.
Did you guys ever notice, and this may have been just the way, the late afternoon in the fall, but just the illusion that you see in golf when you feel like you hit a ball just well struck and you think that ball is 2 feet from the pin, and every step you take closer to the hole, it gets a little further away. You ever notice that? And then when you get there, you're like, wow, that's a 20-foot putt. It's just...
Yeah, I don't know if it was... that it was maybe a little colder. I mean, what was the high was like, what, 52 today or something like that. But I could not get the ball to the hole. Like, I hit a handful of decent iron shots, but I was always short of the pin today. And, you know, maybe joke's on me. Maybe I should have just clubbed up at some point. But
that's probably it.
Yeah. I was always short of the pin, and I don't. Yeah, most of my shots that I felt like were going to be pretty good were always 20 feet short.
No, I agree with you. I was kidding. Also, it was way windier than we realized. Like, we were, like, tucked in between a bunch of pine trees.
Uh-huh.
And flags were whipping. We couldn't always feel it. And I think it's just hard to tell sometimes how much the wind's going to affect your ball. But it definitely does.
I backed off a couple shots on the front nine because it picked up pretty good.
Yeah.
We were down there, like, the front nine, part of it at least, kind of borders some sort of a river or a...
We're super close to the Mississippi. There's a couple little rivers that come off the Mississippi.
Yeah. Here, yeah. And, I mean, it was dry. At least the big one was a dry bed, but there was some wind kind of whipping off that a little bit, and I definitely felt it on a couple shots. What were you all's favorite holes?
I think my favorite hole was probably 18. Reason being, all six of us played it together.
We did.
Let's see. Five of the tee shots were within like a 15-yard radius. Cooper's was a touch further to the left. And second shot, somewhere similar, Carl was pulling his ball out of the woods. Joe totally caught him out on that. sorry, we can cut that too. Sorry, I was just talking out loud.
I put that ball back in the woods. And hit about a, I would call it maybe a 4 foot shot.
It was at least 8 or 9 feet.
But it made it out of the junk, at which point I put a 150 yard shot right on the green and felt great about it. It was a great way to do
it. As you should.
Then I three putted for bogey.
Well, okay.
I really liked hole number one. Like, I wish I could play the front nine again, because I think I know the course a little better now. But number one kind of naturally doglegs left and borders that, like, dry riverbed, and I think it kind of has some, like, good natural mounds, and I think visually it was a pretty hole. I would also like to play 18 when the sun wasn't going down, right as we were finishing up, because the sun was going down right behind the green, and it was really tough to see tee shots. I mean, Caleb went up into the fairway to watch our tee shots fall to actually see where they were dropping down, and then our second shots were just complete guesses. Really, our third shots were kind of guesses too, but I think 18 is kind of a unique... I mean, it's a big par 5, uphill, dogleg left, really pretty with the clubhouse right behind the green. And, yeah, I think I would like it a lot more if we could play it kind of in a normal daylight.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty cool hole, but it was a bummer. Like you said, I drove up there like 275, 285 just to kind of see where everybody was landing. Obviously, all the balls are sailing over the cart because we all hit a way further than that. Yeah, that was fun, man.
Let's give the bluffs at Thompson Creek a rating.
We go 1 out of 10?
1 out of 10. Let's say 1 out of 10. let's take into account your food, mm-hmm. your drinks.
The Palmer Dog. They make the best Coors Light there, too.
Yeah.
Wait, that came from your car. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, it did. Don't tell them that.
Okay.
The golf, all of that. What is your rating for the bluffs at Thompson Creek?
Carl, you go first.
I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Hmm. Front nine was fantastic. You know, the temperature was all over the place. I blame them for that. I think we had several 10-degree swings throughout the day where I just kept changing clothes.
Yeah, you were taking your clothes off somewhere.
But, yeah, the course was nice. The clubhouse was great. Where I play my ball outside of the fairway, you know, it was hit or miss, whether there was grass or mud or pine needles. But that's on me a touch. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Some pretty holes, some normal holes. 7 out of 10.
I like it. I'm probably going to go touch higher. I'm going to give them a 7.5. Mm. I think one was there was an element of mystery. We are, like Cooper said, we're not here on a golf trip. We're here because we drove 8 hours to get in the country, even though, keep in mind, we all live in Middle Tennessee, so you don't have to do that. But it is a treat to come to Joe's Family Farm. So we roll up on this golf course, gorgeous clubhouse. We pull up, and Joe had to change clothes. They made him take off his jeans and put on regular pants, so there's that.
Yeah.
So I'm giving it a 7.5. Good looking golf course. We did have some rain. Thankfully, it wasn't cart path only. That was nice.
Yeah,
probably should have been.
I thought the greens were fairly decent mm-hmm. overall. Not too slick.
Yep.
Honestly, probably should have been a little bit quicker, but that's okay. Overall, they were good. They can make or break a golf course.
Yeah,
they had a few really cool holes. I think it's a course where you definitely benefit from playing a few times. You got some mm-hmm. blind shots coming around. But I'm going to give it a 7.5 with the, with only playing it one time, for sure.
I'll split the difference here. I had 7.2 in my mind.
Oh, you dog.
Yep. If I'm making a pro-con list, one of the big pros in my mind is the fact that there was no one out there. And for us, honestly, that's a big element of fun to me, is like not feeling super rushed. And I mean, we played in 4 hours and 20 minutes. It wasn't like we played slow at all, but it's nice to go out there and feel like we've got the golf course kind of to ourselves. And it feels like there might have been 20 players today and we were 6 of them. And it was a Friday and it was pretty, you know, 50 and sunny. As far as the golf course goes, I will say there were some blind shots and some holes that were, I mean, I would say like gimmicky kind of. It just felt like they had to do what they needed to with the land that was there. A lot of the par fours felt very similar to me. They were all very similar in yardage. There were a couple of them that were shorter. They were dog legs that had blind shots, but most of them sat around that like 350, 360 range and were straight away. I would have liked maybe a little bit more of a variety there. But overall, it's a great place to play golf. And if you're looking for a good place that has a great price point on greens fees, you know, that's 40 minutes outside of Baton Rouge, an hour and a half or so outside of New Orleans, I would say definitely hit it up. The Bluffs on Thompson Creek, we appreciate them hosting the High Handicappers Club today. Like we always say, if there's a golf course and we're playing it, we're having fun.
That's right, baby.
And that's what we did today. So we appreciate the Bluffs at Thompson Creek being our course of choice and our location for great memories.
Come on.
Happy birthday, Trent.
Happy birthday, Trent. Way to go golfing that ball.
Mississippi, what a great state. Shout out to the Bluffs at Thompson Creek.
And Louisiana.
Did you say Mississippi, what a great state?
Yeah, we're in Mississippi currently.
We're, Bluffs of Thompson Creek are in Louisiana.
We are driving back to the farm, which is in Mississippi. Yes, we were in Louisiana, also a great state. Peace out. We'll be right back.